Guys, good evening, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Evolutionary.org Raw Podcast. I'm your host, Steve Smee. I have the Mason in the house. We are coming to you live from Evolutionary.org headquarters. So we have some really cool topics. This is going to be a show all about cutting around the holidays. We know it's hard. First, let's talk general fat loss. Matt, update us. How much fat and weight have you lost since you started your recent cut? You were what, 194 pounds originally?
Around 190. So I'm sitting at about 180. Right now, give or take, it's been highly successful because I did have those few weeks where I was sick and it was holding me back and, you know, had to get back on track. If you guys are looking to cut, check out my plan that I did where I was fasting 24 hours one day per week and then just doing two meals per day about 12 hours apart. It's very, very effective. Now, what I've learned in the last week or so is that I was kind of toying with the idea of, and we talked about it, is this sustainable long term? Is this something you could do every day? And I've come to the conclusion that no, it's not. And I guess if you're a hermit, it could be okay. But I was just finding more and more that socially, it's really hard to stick to. I thought it was more of a summertime thing, you know, like here we get really bad winters. So the summer's kind of everybody comes out, has all their get togethers, everything else. So I thought, you know, as that winds down, it'll be a little easier. But in my family, like we're busy with sports, the kids are in hockey, everything else. So I'm finding there's always some type of get together. And after time, it just, at some point, it's hard to not eat dinner when everybody else is eating dinner. For a little while, it's okay that, you know, people kind of understand, but after a while, like they think you're weird. So I found long-term, it's not sustainable. So what I'm going to do, I'm just going to switch over and try more traditional intermittent fasting, which works for a lot of people. And I think it's something you can do every single day. So I'm going to do that. I'm going to have an 8-hour window where I can eat. I'm going to try to keep the same amount of calories I was doing before, which is, you know, roughly 1600, so I can continue to cut. But what I'm going to do is have that window be, you know, say 1 to 9. So that way it includes any, you know, social time we would have. It's really easy during the day to not eat so much because you're busy. You know, you get up, you're with work. For me, I train in the middle of the day. So it's really easy at that point. It's later on in the day where it becomes tough to just, you know, not eat when everybody else is eating. So that's kind of where I'm going with it. But
well, if you're eating before, you were doing twice a day meals, right?
Correct.
So if you were doing a meal in the morning and a meal in the evening, why was it hard?
It was more trying to push that second meal back. I was trying to do like 8 a.m. and 8 p.m., but sometimes it would get a little bit later. So I found it tricky when, you know, you'd be with people and you'd want to have a meal around like 6 o'clock. And I'd be like, you know, like I'm trying to push myself to 8 or 9. So that's where I found it to get a little bit weird. But again, that's just me, you know, right? Somebody that doesn't have that kind of lifestyle, or, you know, if you're, you know, you don't have kids or you're single or whatever, it might be really easy. You know, you can time your meals whenever you want and not have any, you know, issues or awkward things. Just for me, I think it's going to be better to switch over to the more 16-8 lean gains, intermittent fasting.
I'm actually going to be doing something a little different. And this is going to be tied into insulin. Basically, preventing insulin spikes. What I'm going to be doing is starting Monday, I'm going to be doing a fast on Monday. The whole day, not eating anything. And then I'm not going to eat anything until dinner. And then the next day I'm going to eat normally and then stop eating at dinner. So Monday, nothing until dinner. Tuesday, normal eating. Wednesday, nothing till dinner. Thursday, normal eating. So it's going to be 24 hours on, 24 hours fast. 24 hours eat, 24 hours fast. So it's going to be something a little different. And I'm actually kind of, was kind of reading about fasting strategies. And this kind of came up. And this is something I wanted to try just to see how I do. I think that would be a good way to really prevent insulin spikes, which is the biggest problem that we go through with fat loss is insulin. When insulin levels go up, our bodies go into storage mode. So implementing what Matt was saying, the intermittent fasting is a good way. You keep the insulin levels low during your fast, during your 18 hours of fasting. You're keeping your insulin levels low so your body can't store any fat. So my strategy works a little better for my lifestyle. Matt's strategy works a little better for his lifestyle. So it just depends on your particular lifestyle. So this is something that I'm going to try and see if it fits me well. But also, I like to implement fasting strategies. During a fast, that's when you really start burning that fat, when you're really deep into a fast. So prolonged fasting works really well for that. And I do plan on doing probably a 14-day prolonged fast at some point in the future. And I'm really looking forward to that. But like Matt said, it's a social aspect. I like cooking. I like going out and dating. You go on a date, you have a movie and a dinner. It's hard. I mean, it's hard to go to dinner and just have tea, So from a social perspective, it kind of takes a lot out of you to do these strategies. So, it really boils down to, how bad do you want it, and can you kind of, what can you do to implement these sort of fat loss strategies? So, it's all a matter, guys. It boils down to eat less often, and exercise more. That's the key to fat loss. And in this show, we're going to get into some supplements, some steroids, how to better eat on the holidays, where we're absolutely, you're getting invited to your family's Thanksgiving dinner. You get invited to your girlfriend's Thanksgiving dinner or your wife's family's Thanksgiving dinner, and it becomes so tempting to just eat and eat and eat. So, let's talk about cutting before Thanksgiving, because it gets really hard. So let me ask you first, Matt, your Thanksgiving situation, how do you handle it? Because it's so tempting to eat such a huge meal on Thanksgiving.
Yeah, so the trick that I have always done is, I don't know about you, when I get together for a Thanksgiving dinner, there's always tons of snacks out beforehand. And the funny thing is, not a lot of people touch most of the vegetables. Surprise, right? So what I find is it's a great time to be able to snack before dinner and not fill up, but, get enough fiber. Vegetables are full of water. They're going to fill you up. I find it a great time to snack on vegetables, especially you're going to be watching football probably the entire day, probably sitting on your ass all day. So it's so easy for those calories to add up, because not only are you going to, have a decent sized meal in most cases, but you're not going to probably be training that day. If you are, great. If you got a home gym or whatever, that's awesome. If you can do that, maybe get some cardio in. But my trick is water and fill up on vegetables before the meal. Then when I actually get to the meal, I'm going to probably take, most of my plate, just turkey, just lean white turkey, because that's basically pure protein. You're not going to have any other crap in there. But what you want to do is, it's more about what you stay away from, I think. and every family's different, you know, but I guess a general rule would be something like stuffing is pretty bad. It's basically bread and butter. You got to be careful with those things. Even with cooked vegetables, guys, like you can get sucked in when they're made with a shit ton of butter, you know, so you really got to be careful. So I would say, you know, have your raw vegetables beforehand and fill most of your plate with just lean protein. That way you can allow yourself to have that little bit. I mean, I'm assuming most of you are going to, you know, count this as your cheat meal. You know, that way you can have a little bit of potatoes or whatever else you want to have with your dinner. And in the end, you're going to probably end up in a good spot.
You bring up a good point about exercise. The way we evolved is very fascinating because, and animals still do this. Like, okay, let's take a lion, for example. Lions, they go for a hunt. They're hungry. They want to eat. They go for a hunt. That's their motivation to find food. They bust their ass for a kill. You'll see like 10, 12 lions jumping on top of an elephant to bring that elephant down. Or, you know, a bunch of lions working together to corner a gazelle. And the gazelle's faster than the lion. But the lions, they have to outsmart the gazelle, and they have to be, you know, work as a team to kind of bring that gazelle down. And a lot of times they fail. So hunger is their motivation. They're like, shit, we got to eat, you know. And so they'll work their ass off to get food. They'll get food. They'll eat the food. And then what will they do after? They'll take a nap. So that's why on Thanksgiving, you know, we eat turkey and we get tired after. Like, gosh. And people want to blame, there's a certain chemical in turkey. What is it called, Matt? Like tryptophan. Yeah, everyone wants to blame tryptophan. They're like, oh, it's the tryptophan making me tired. No, it's because you ate a big meal. So as humans, we evolved the same way as animals act today in that we were motivated to go and find food by hunger. Hunger was what motivated us to go find food. Otherwise, what would have been the point of going to find food? We would have just sat in our fucking caves, you know, all fucking day. That was our motivation. We had to go find food. We had to go work for it. So on Thanksgiving, do the same thing. I understand gyms are closed on Thanksgiving. That's the way it is. Look, people who work at the gyms, they bust their ass. You know, they got some goofy fucking hours. A lot of them, they're in at 4 a.m. and they don't leave till 10, 11 o'clock sometimes. It's not fair to them to have to work Thanksgiving. So, you know, that's great. Let them have a day off on the holidays, spend it with their family. You wouldn't want, if you had a relative, if your wife or husband worked at a gym, you wouldn't want them working on a holiday either. You would want them at home with your family, correct? So, yes, you're not going to be able to go to the gym. But that doesn't mean you can't exercise. There's all kinds of fucking things you can do. You can do push-ups, pull-ups, squats in your house. You don't need to go to a gym. You can go for a jog around your neighborhood. Okay, grab, you know, one of your relatives and be like, dude, let's go fucking run. Let's go fucking run 2 miles. Go run the 2 miles. Burn off some calories. This way, it leaves you room to kind of enjoy your Thanksgiving meal with your family. Keep the moderation small. I love pumpkin pie, but look, have a small slice, okay? That's what. Instead of having 3 servings of turkey, have only 1 or 2 servings of turkey. Instead of drenching your turkey in mashed potatoes and gravy, add a little bit only, okay? Just a little bit. So these are little things you can do. You don't have to gain 6 pounds from eating Thanksgiving dinner. Just, you know, be smart about it and you'll be fine and you won't gain a bunch of weight. How many people, this is what happens on the holidays. We go into the holidays, we gain a shitload of weight. And then on New Year's, we're like, fuck, we drink a lot, whatever. That's the way we are in North America. It's silly. We're followers. Everyone does the same shit. And then what do you do after New Year's? You're like, fuck, I'm going to set a New Year's resolution. Fuck, I gained 10 pounds this year. I'm going to lose that 10 pounds. I'm going to set a goal. So we go, we set New Year's resolution. The first couple weeks of New Year's, we go to the gym religiously. We're going every other day at minimum. And then what do? 2-3 weeks into it, we quit going to the gym. We're like, fuck this. I don't want to do this anymore. And we're like, fuck, I'm not getting results. Or I gained 10 pounds during the holidays and I'm only down 2 pounds. So, you know, psychologically, you're like, fuck, I give up. You really have to shake your way out of that and not let yourself get out of hand during the holidays. Because in the winter, especially you guys up north, and you know, where Matt lives and stuff, and up in New England and the upper Midwest and Northwest, it gets cold during the winter. So we're wearing heavy stuff, jackets and sweaters and long pants. So people don't see your bodies when you live up there. So you tend to like not give a fuck, you know? Okay, I have a 2-pack, I have a 4-pack. Well, now I don't have my abs showing anymore. Well, you gain weight. That's what happened. So, you know, you really have to don't put yourself in that situation, because the domino effect of losing motivation and gaining all that weight over the Thanksgiving holiday is gonna hurt you. Winter cutting is something that people don't do enough of, because everyone during the winter is like, you know what? I'm wearing these heavy clothes, I'm gonna bulk. You know? And I think that's so fucking stupid. You know, you should want to cut during the winter. That's the perfect time to cut. The temperatures are cooler. You know, it's not so fucking hot outside. It gives you more of an incentive to do more indoor stuff, like go to the gym or find an indoor track or do something else, you know, indoors, that you're kind of, you know, pushing yourself a little bit. Do you see that, Matt, as well during the winter?
Yeah, for sure. And I think this comes with knowledge and with maturity. You know, like, you have to adjust your calories. As Steve and I get older, in our mid-30s now, we don't eat as much as we did when we were 18. You know, I can't go crush a whole pizza by myself and, you know, still have abs. It doesn't work that way, you know? So if you guys know in the wintertime you're going to be less active, like I am, I will tell you, I am less active in the wintertime because it's shitty out. And if I know I'm going to be less active, I have to account for that. Why do I want to bulk at that time? I need to restrict my calories because I'm putting out less energy. So you have to find the balance. You have to account for these calories. And, you know, with this Thanksgiving thing, there's no reason and there's no acceptable reason that one meal can make you fail or cause you to gain that much weight. If you think about the science, 3,500 calories is 1 pound. So if you're on your normal maintenance diet for the week, you know, and you budget 800 calories for dinner, you know, there's no way you're eating 2,700 calories for your Thanksgiving dinner. I mean, I guess you could if you went, you know, insane. But even if you did, that's 1 pound, right? So mentally, you have to be tough, because you're weak if you just give up from one meal, you know. And then the other thing is to look at it as a whole. It's not just the Thanksgiving season. It's the whole holiday season. It's the whole winter time. Steve already mentioned, you know, New Year's. You know, we all know alcohol is not good for physique. It's, you know, pretty much the worst thing you could do. But New Year's Eve might be a time you're going to have a couple drinks. Christmas is going to be similar to Thanksgiving. You're going to probably eat more. So right now, in, you know, middle to the end of October, this is a really good time for you guys to put a plan together. Put something solid in place that's going to allow you to have those, you know, 3 or 4 nights where you can indulge a little bit, eat a little bit more than you normally would, you know, have a beer or two. Account for those. You know, make a plan that the rest of the week you can kind of bank some calories for that, and, you know, increase your gym time around those meals, around that time of year. Because there's really no excuses. This is a long-term thing, you know. We're not in this to just, you know, bust our ass for 9 months of the year and then 3 months let it all go to shit. You're just spinning your wheels then. So take the time now, get on the forums, get a log together, get a plan together, you know, run a 12-week whatever you're going to do, and put it down, and we'll hold you accountable, and we'll help you through it too. We'll give you ideas for meals. There's tons of ways where you can take these meals. There'll be plenty of turkey left over. You'll have all types of meal ideas you can do with just a pure lean protein. So this is a great time, guys. Get your shit together.
Yeah, it really is. I really like the idea to set a plan out. How about doing a prolonged fast in between Thanksgiving and Christmas? That'd be a really good thing to do. Maybe do like a 5-day fast or a 10-day fast, a prolonged fast in between that to really kind of, get your body more of an insulin sensitive position. This way you can really not have to worry about, putting on any weight during the holidays. So a good a plan in place, something that you can kind of stick to would be a really good idea. But I think it boils down to, look, Christmas, New Year's Eve, and Thanksgiving, you're gonna get in a lot of calories. Okay? The key is don't be a follower, be a leader. And moderation is going to be key, and also exercise is going to be key. Make sure if you plan on eating more than usual, drinking more than usual, exercise that morning to really burn those extra calories. This way, you're kind of earning the privilege of eating more and drinking more. That's the key. So, but don't be a
You know
follower.
what?
I'm not a drinker. I'm not gonna drink New Year's Eve myself. So don't be a follower. Don't think, oh, I have to drink New Year's Eve. I hate that shit. People who follow, you're never gonna like succeed in fitness. What were you saying, Matt?
So much of this game is mental, right? We've been through this. It really is. It's about you versus yourself. Your mind will tell you funny things when you're hungry to, whatever you got to sell yourself on to get that meal in. But I'm telling you, what you have to do is, and we see this all the time. How many times do people say, I'm going to start my diet on Monday? Well, why? It's because you're mentally weak. Start right now. If you want a diet, fuck it, just do it. Why do you need to binge on the weekend to start Monday? So, what I'll tell you, it can work the other way too. Your mind can work for you. So, for any of you guys that are interested in fasting and haven't tried it, I will tell you the first time I did it, I loved it. And it's something that I said, you know what? I'm going to incorporate this, in the future in different ways. I just felt so good. So this is what I would recommend to anybody that hasn't done it. Have your Thursday Thanksgiving meal. Friday, the next day, try a 24-hour fast. It's a great time to do it because you need it. If you ate too much, it'll be tons of benefit for you. It'll help you burn off those calories. But I can almost guarantee you that mentally, if you fight through that day, you'll feel so good that between then and Christmas and New Year's, you'll have this new, tool in your arsenal to use at different times. And mentally, it'll help you push through. You'll probably even feel good, like Steve said, if you exercise the morning of your meal, of your Thanksgiving meal, when it comes meal time, you might even mentally be like, I trained today. I did my cardio. I don't want to, blow everything I did this morning. It might even help you in that way. So just remember to use all these little mental triggers positive because they are positive. There's tons of negative, but learn to use them to get you going in the right direction too.
So steroid use. Let's talk about steroid use. First of all, guys, the dirty secret out there, the dirty secret, steroids don't burn fat. I really wish they did. I really do, but they don't. That's the bottom line. What steroids do, though, is they prevent muscle wasting when you're in a caloric deficit. That's one of the things they do. Another thing they do is raise your red blood cell count. They do that beautifully. So there's certain things, steroids can do. They also boost your strength. They boost your recovery. They cut your recovery in half from your workouts. They also boost, protein synthesis. So it allows you to build muscle easier. Okay? But they're not a magic pill. And they're not fat burners, like I said. So the thing is with steroids, certain steroids are cutting steroids. The reason that they're cutting steroids is not because they burn fat. It's because they don't aromatize into water. Estrogen, which is, water weight. So they won't bloat you. Those steroids include Anavar, T-Bol, Mastron. You know, those are the main ones. Winstrol, Proviron, all those are dry compounds. The wet compounds include testosterone, DECA, EQ a little bit, not too much. It's kind of in the middle. I would put EQ a trend. It's like in the middle because sometimes some people will blow it on them. Sometimes people won't. D-bol aromatizes like crazy. That's a poor choice to use if you want to cut. Anadrol, you're going to Anadrol, even though it's a DHT derivative, it does bind estrogen receptors, so it's going to give you those estrogen, that water retention. So, you know, there is a difference between cutting steroids and bulking steroids in that respect, but they're not fat burners. Like you can't just take steroids and magically burn fat. It doesn't work that way. So in terms of, you know, steroids, I've never cut on steroids before. That's been my experience. No steroids have cut me. Steroids have increased my strength. They've increased my muscle mass. They've, you know, added a lot of weight on my frame, a lot of mass, and, you know, fat, muscle, and water. But they've never, I've never, like, taken a cycle of steroids and actually lost weight. How about you, Matt? Like, have you, what do you think about that?
Yeah. You know what? I agree. Steroids build muscle. That's what they do. When we break down the science, they increase muscle protein synthesis. That's growing muscle. If you're going to cut on steroids, there's basically two options that I recommend. The first one is going to be just testosterone and just at a low dose, you know, maybe 300 maximum five. I wouldn't even go to 500 milligrams per week because then you will get some water weight. But really, the only reason you're going to do that is to maintain muscle. Now, I would argue that that's still not even the best option for that purpose. I'd rather just run something mild, you know, like a SARM, like Osterin, 25 milligrams per day. That's going to, you know, help keep your muscle while you cut too. So I'd probably rather do that. You're going to get less side effects. You're not going to get the major shutdown that test is going to give you. But if you're going to use steroids, that's the first option. The second option, and this one can be a little bit tricky, but I think if you were to run Tren on its own at a low dose, I think that would be a really good cutting cycle. Maybe, you know, 100 to 200 milligrams per week. Somewhere in that range, because what it's going to do, it'll help harden you up. It'll give you that strength boost that you're looking for. And it'll also help you with the, you know, the carbs that you're eating. It will really partition those carbs. The only problem is some people with Tren, like, you really want to grow. It puts you in that mindset because it's so powerful. So you might try doing that and then decide, you know, like, why am I wasting it? So that can be a little tricky. The other problem with running, you know, the cycle I just mentioned is that Tren is notoriously bad on your cardio. So if you're cutting, you're probably going to want to do cardio. So then you're going to end up having to take things like Cardarin or, you know, SR9009 to counteract that. So, I mean, those are two options. Low dose test, low dose Tren. But I honestly think you're better off with other options. I think there's a couple really good supplements you could use, and SARMs and PPAR agonists that would probably be, you know, superior as far as results and side effects. Personally, I don't cut with steroids because I did try to do kind of a cut. It was more of a maintenance cycle, and I just found that I wanted to build muscle because how I felt, how I, you know, my appetite increased. So I didn't really find it really successful in that manner. So I don't think I would ever cut on steroids again. I'd probably just go with SARMs or, you know, something like that.
Yeah, Cardarine, what Matt was referring to, the PPAR agonist, Cardarine, which is GW501516. This stuff Fat loss with carbering, I noticed the endurance benefits right away. I don't notice the fat loss on carbering till like the second month. So that's one that you want to run a cycle of between 8 and 12 weeks of at 20 milligrams a day. You'll definitely start noticing endurance immediately. And then the fat loss, see the fat loss, you know, I seem to get a quick little jump in fat loss right away. Like the first week, I'll get like a bump in fat loss. And then it kind of evens out. And then the second month, it really starts kicking in terms of the fat loss. So that's been my experience with carterine. SR9009, it's a Rev ERBA. It's very similar to carterine. That also is really good for fat loss. I would implement, if you can afford both, they really stack well together. I have a lot of respect for both of those compounds. In terms of cardio, okay, exercise is very important, guys. If you have a job, it's a very sedentary job, but most of us do. We have sedentary jobs easily. It's not like our ancestors who basically, our ancestors spent all day hunting for food, reinforcing their shelter, hiding from predators, you know, et cetera, et cetera. So they were constantly burning calories just from daily struggle. Today, we don't. Today, we have lazy jobs. We sit on our ass. Right now, I'm sitting on my ass with my legs up on my desk doing this podcast for an hour. So how many calories am I burning doing this? This is my work, you know? But our ancestors were burning calories constantly throughout the day. So one strategy that you can really implement if you have a desk job is a stand-up desk. And that's something that I got. And to be honest with you, it works. I've actually found it easier to cut and lose weight since I got my stand-up desk because I'm burning an extra, I don't know, 150, 250 calories a day with my stand-up desk. And those extra calories that I'm burning are huge. They add up over time versus sitting on my ass. The second strategy is exercise. You know, you have two choices when it comes to cardio, okay? Weight training, definitely get in your weight training every day. 40 to 60 minutes of weight training, maybe 70 minutes tops. You don't need to go to the gym for 2 hours. But cardio is important. Two strategies you can alternate to keep fun. I like to do high-intensity cardio, 10 to 20 minutes of high-intensity cardio. Really, you get the heart rate up, you know, you really push yourself for that 10, 20 minutes. Very high intensity. The second is long, slow distance, which is very time consuming, but it works. And that is 40 to 55 minutes of running, of jogging at a slow pace or walking at a fast pace. And that really keeps your heart rate elevated for a long period of time. You burn a plentiful amount of calories doing that. So between your weight training and cardio, you know, you should be burning at least 500 calories a day as a man and at least 300 calories a day as a woman. And that would really help with your cutting goals. It's very, very crucial. Do you have to do that? No, you can just do diet alone. But that doing that, especially if you're already in a caloric deficit, that just reinforces and puts you in a deep, deep caloric deficit. To leave you room for like, you know, a mistake. Because a lot of people think they're eating in a caloric deficit. And a lot of times, and I'm guilty of this too, you really end up in a surplus for the day. You might end up like at 100 or 200 surplus for the day. But you know what I'm saying? You don't mean to, but that's just how it is. So if you're exercising that 1 to 2 hours a day consistently, that will drop you into a deficit.
The one thing I want to say about being in a deficit, if you're not sure, you can always track. There's so many apps out there. MyFitnessPal is probably the most popular one. It can scan, and it has a huge database of like every food you could find. So that's a good one if you want to make sure. If for whatever reason you don't want to do that, be very careful with your carbs. I'm telling you, a serving of rice, a serving of pasta is not what most people eat. Most people probably eat minimum like 3 or 4 servings. Okay. So those calories can add up so quick. You really want to be able to measure those kind of things. If you're not sure, limit your carb intake to fruits and vegetables. That's a sure way to be safe. The other thing I want to comment on quick is Steve mentioned the stand-up desk. That is so crucial. And one of the biggest things with that is avoiding injury. And I know that's not, you know, directly related to fat loss. I guess if you're injured, you're not going to train. So, you know, in a way it is. But when you guys are sitting all day, think about it. If you're sitting on your couch right now or in a chair listening to this, what position are your shoulders in? What's your posture like? Think about if you're at a desk for 8 hours a day and your shoulders are rolled forward. We're naturally now, as humans, going to this position all the time where we're rolling our shoulders forward and our heads looking down. And that's because we're always on computers for work and we're always looking down at our phones, down at our iPads, whatever device you have. That is extremely bad for your health. It's so bad on your neck and your back, you're going to end up injured. Talk to any chiropractor, any physiotherapist about the amount of people they see at a young age with back and neck problems. It's insane. So that point about the stand-up desk is, it's so important. Just being in a deficit every day, there's no excuses. If you want to lose fat, if you want to cut, that's it. Don't ask about magic fat loss pills. They don't exist. There's no magic surgeries that are going to, you know, help you be successful for life. The one thing that's proven over and over and over to be successful is to be in a caloric deficit every single day. And I stress the words every single day because a lot of you guys listening, guys and girls, are, you know, in your 20s, you're younger, and you want to have a social life, which is completely understandable. But if you want to cut and you are in that deficit 5 days a week, and then you fuck off on the weekends, you're not going to make it anywhere. You're going to spin your wheels and you're only going to fail because you're going to think, you know, I'm doing all this work all week and then I weigh in Monday and I haven't lost any weight. And the problem is it's so easy to go overboard on the weekends and put that weight back on that you worked so hard to keep off and to get down. So cutting is tough, guys. Don't think it's going to be easy. Again, mental toughness. Understand what you're getting into. Have the right expectations that it's going to be hard and you're going to have to work hard, but that makes it more satisfying when you get there. You got to do it every single day. 500 to 700 calories for a man, 300 to 500 calories for a woman in your deficit is a good starting point. That's just a generic number. You can, you know, make adjustments from there based on how you respond, but that's the way to lose fat. Don't look for shortcuts. Don't look for anything else. Look in the mirror and understand it's going to be up to what you put into it is what you're going to get out. If you want to cut, you got to bust your ass. There's no other way around it.
So let's get into a couple of cutting supplements that we like to implement. My favorite one, and this is one I use year-round, I use it every day before meals. It's called Intuslin. And this is a really great supplement. It's my favorite supplement out there. And it works. So this is the way you use it. Use it two ways. You can either take two tablets before your three biggest meals of the day, or you can take one tablet before 4 to 6 of your meals per day, like snacks or whatever. So that's the way you do it, 30 minutes beforehand. And what it does is it does two things. It blocks fat from being stored, and it also is a nutrition partitioner. So it's going to prevent you from gaining fat, and it's going to actually help shuttle in those nutrients into your muscle from a meal. So it's a really amazing compound, guys. There's a lot of supplements out there that do something like this, but nothing like Intuslin. And the key is the amazing ingredients that it has. And Matt, I'm not sure if you really want to get into each ingredient, if you can kind of get into that. Bergonin is the first one. Do you know much about it?
So individually, I don't know a ton about every ingredient, but what I'll tell you is that I just want to like set this expectation first. Like I just said, there's no magic fat loss pill. That's absolutely true in this case. N2SLIN is great. It's not a magic fat loss pill. But I'll tell you the one thing that it does. When Steve said it's a nutrient partitioner and it shuttles the nutrients to your muscles, that's so important because that, you know, will really help with what you're eating to not store it and to not, you know, utilize it. You want to utilize all these things you're eating. And the main key here is the carbs. Carbs are something that it's so easy for us to store as fat. You know, if we're not doing everything perfectly, it's just what our bodies want to do. They want to store things, you know, just in case. So when you guys do your research and you're looking for supplements like this, you're not going to find a carb blocker. And I say that in quotes. There's no such supplement. There's no such ingredient that can actually block carbs from being absorbed. But what N2SLIN can do is cause those carbs to not be stored as fat. So there's a big difference there. So I just want to make sure you guys know that. There's, you know, some really good ingredients in N2SLIN here. The one thing I want to make sure you guys know as well is it is not a stimulant. And that's where it's amazing to use because, you know, one of the ingredients even is green coffee bean extract. There's 80 milligrams of that. Fantastic ingredient, but don't think that's a stimulant. It's not. Okay, it's extracted. It doesn't have the caffeine content to it. So that's extremely important because if you guys are, you know, trying to avoid stimulants or if you're stacking other things here, just know that N2SLIN is non-stimulant, non-hormonal. You can use it. You don't have to cycle on and off. You can use it anytime. I like to do 2 tablets 3 times a day with my bigger meals. That's the way that I do it. I haven't used it fasting yet, but that's maybe something for another show that we could kind of get into. But Steve, what do you want to talk about a couple of these ingredients here we can get into?
Yeah, first of all, like stimulants are crap, okay? If you go to anyone's house and you look in their pantry, it'll usually be like a half-used bottle of some type of stimulant that's just full of caffeine and full of, you know, stimulants in it, okay? And the reason for that is people will use them and they'll get shit results. They'll notice nothing from it. Stimulants can suppress your appetite, but over time, they don't work for that anymore. And they don't really boost metabolism. And if they do boost metabolism, it's very temporary. I mean, literally, like, the first few days, you'll take your stimulant, you'll boost your metabolism, and then you'll get nothing out of it. If they did magically burn fat, you know, all these people that go to Starbucks and Dunkin' Donuts and McDonald's every morning and buy coffee, they'd all be fucking, you know, ripped at 4%, okay? Because they drink a shitload of coffee. There's people that drink 6-7 cups of coffee a day, all right? And they're not lean, okay? They're just fucking coffee addicts. So, yeah, stimulants don't do shit. N2SLIN is absolutely not a stimulant, like Matt said. My favorite ingredient is bergonin, okay? And the reason it's my favorite ingredient is, remember at the beginning of the show, I was telling you guys about insulin. Insulin is your storage hormone. When you get an insulin spike, you better believe your body's going to store fat because, again, that's the way we evolved. That's the way lions are. They eat a meal, they store it, they get tired. Yes, humans, same thing. We had a hard time finding food. So when we did find food, what does our body do? It's going to store that food. So what bergonin does, it actually counteracts the lipogenic actions of your insulin. So this will prevent fat storage from insulin, which is your body's most powerful storage hormone. It also reduces the activity of an enzyme called protein tyrosine phosphatase. 1B, this prevents insulin spikes after your meals. So when you take the insulin, you eat your meal, you're not going to get that insulin spike, and you're not going to get that storage of what you're eating. So does this mean you can go run out and eat pizza and eat pasta and all this shit? No, you don't want to, like, you know, abuse the insulin. But yes, it will actually prevent you. That's why it works so great for a cheat meal. It will actually prevent fat storage from that cheat meal. But you still want to eat healthy to get the best results. Obviously, you want to eat clean. You don't want to use this as a crutch. Another great ingredient is crepe myrtle. Okay. What this does is it stimulates glucose uptake with a similar induction timing and a dose-dependent response arc that is very similar to that of insulin. So it's going to help muscle recovery, and it's going to help nutrient uptake by the muscle cells. So this is great for nutrition partitioning to really take advantage of your well-balanced meal. Gynema sylvestra maximizes production of insulin when the other ingredients are in the body in order to make sure bergamine and crepe myrtle can enact their actions effectively. So this helps you, those work even better. 4-hydroxy is another great powerful ingredient, and that causes proper insulin release at the right window of time, while at the same time lowering your blood sugar levels during the rest of the day and allowing for much more stable blood glucose level readings. And, you know, these are shown in studies. These aren't something that just are made up. These are really
Steve, I just want to chime in on that one quick.
Yeah.
Another part of keeping your blood sugar levels stable is when your sugar levels spike and when they get really low, when you have those, you know, extremes, that's what creates these, you know, feelings of like uncontrollable hunger where you just want to open the fridge and just eat everything. By keeping the labels, the levels stable, you'll never feel that like, oh my God, I'm so hungry. You'll just always kind of be in the middle. So that's an extra benefit to this ingredient, 4-hydroxyisoleucine, is that you won't feel like that. So you'll be able to stick to your meals that you have planned. If you start to get hungry, mentally you'll think, okay, I'm hungry. I can go, you know, I'll prepare my meal. I'll get ready. It's not, shit, I got to eat right now. You know, where's the pizza, right? You're never going to have that, you know, mental instability, I guess, if I could call it that. So I just wanted to make that point. That ingredient is extremely important.
It really is. Couple more ingredients. Green tea extract lowers blood pressure. It helps fat break down into energy. And it lowers cortisol. Cortisol is a nasty stress hormone. We already have a stressful enough lifestyle, okay? Mm-hmm. We're working. We have families. We have business. All the stress that we put ourselves under. Cortisol is a fucking horrible hormone. So green tea extract counteracts cortisol. That prevents the catabolism. It prevents your muscles from breaking down, and it prevents fat from being stored. Green coffee bean extract, Matt talked about it. That is clinically proven to get rid of visceral fat. Fatty pockets in your intestines. As men, where do we store our fat? In our stomachs. We store excess fat in our stomachs. A lot of guys actually bitch about this. They're like, man, my arms, there's no fat. My legs, there's no fat. But why can't I get rid of my stomach fat? The only way to get rid of your stomach fat, guys, is by losing your total body fat. But also green coffee bean extract kind of attacks that. So that's a must use as a man to flatten out your belly. And another supplement while we're on the stomach issue, and Matt, I know you love this one. Tell us a little bit about this supplement.
Yeah, so guys, if you're not familiar with Yohimbe Flame yet, you should be, because it's such a good one. When you're down to that little bit of fat left around your gut and you're struggling because, you know, you've busted your ass with the calorie restriction, with the cardio, and you're at that point where you're thinking, man, can I eat less? Like, can I actually train more? It gets really tough. Mentally, it's really hard. So we talk about spot reduction, you know, in fat. it is extremely difficult to actually do that, right? It's your body burns fat overall as a whole, which is why we burn fat evenly and we're left with that little bit around our midsection. So what this is actually designed to do is really help you with that last little bit of fat to get it off. So this is a stimulant product. You're not going to get, because I've used it, so you're not going to get, you know, that rush, like if you just drank, you know, a couple cups of coffee. You're not going to have that feeling, but it is a stimulant. So you do want to be careful if you are, you know, adding other stimulants in, but you're not going to get that feeling as if you're a regular coffee drinker, that kind of thing. But it does contain a few stimulants in here. Yohimbine, obviously, is the first one based on the name of the product. But it also contains synephrine and caffeine. So you're really getting the best of those three stimulants in the product. Now, I'll let Steve touch on that in a minute. But one thing I want to get into is an ingredient in here that you guys may not realize is in here or may not be familiar with. And that's 7-Keto-DHEA. Now, I actually wrote about this supplement as in my pro-hormone articles. So this is a pro-hormone. What it is it's actually a precursor to DHEA. And the thing with that is that it doesn't like actually build muscle like what you would think of as a typical pro-hormone or DHEA. It's not designed to do that. What it does, and it's similar to when Steve was just, you know, going over the ingredients, it reduces cortisol, which is huge. So when you reduce cortisol levels, you actually help muscle building because you stop the breakdown, but you also stop the fat storage that cortisol can cause. So it's twofold there, which is awesome. The other thing is there's a lot of studies done on this, the compound, you guys, if you want to research it. It's not something you want to use solo. You're not going to get a ton of benefits from it. But when it's added into this product, it's kind of like, in my opinion, it's the secret ingredient because it has so many extra benefits you'd never even think of. So if you look up the studies, the big one was done in 2007. So if you search that one, it was done on humans. And what it actually showed was that there's a 1.4% increase, which doesn't sound big, but over your baseline metabolic rate, that's actually significant. So when you're just sitting on your ass, that's the extra calories you're going to burn. But here's the other thing. It also was proven to have a 5.4% increase when you combined it with a caloric deficit. So if you're using this supplement and you're in a caloric deficit, it's kind of like exponential the way that it really helps increase the results. So not only does the basic metabolic rate go up, but you're in a deficit. That causes it to go up even more. You're burning calories, plus you have those added stimulants that don't make you feel stimmed up but are doing their job. So when you add these together, plus the 7-Keto ingredient was also shown to be thermogenic as well. So not related to the stimulants, it'll actually help you burn more fat. So really, it's something that can be awesome to use when you're near the end. I wouldn't recommend the supplement for somebody that's overweight, obese, that's just getting started. I don't think it's going to do what you want it to do. But I think for those that have already put in the work, it's awesome. Now, I don't know if Steve, if you've ever tried this, but I've typically used it. I just put it on. I let it dry. You know, you spray it on your stomach. You let it dry. And then I go do my cardio or my training. I've actually heard of people doing that and then wrapping it to hold it in so you don't lose any of your clothing if it's not all the way dry. I'm not sure how much that helps, but I have heard of people, you know, that are really cutting hard do that. So, you know, those are just a few options for you guys.
Yeah, actually, I do that. I wrap it. Spray it about 6 to 8 sprays. It's a transdermal. So you're spraying on your body, wrap it, and then go work out. And you'll notice a burning sensation. It's really it will get in there and burn those stubborn areas. So the good thing about it is it's spray on. It's not something you're taking, guys, ingesting it. You're not ingesting it. I'm not a fan of ingesting stimulants. So this will actually, it's a transdermal, so it really gets into that trouble area and it burns that spot. So in terms of, you know, fat spot burning, no such thing. But in this case, yes, this will help because your body creates a higher concentration of your hormones, estrogen and cortisol, in those areas. That's where we get those. Some guys, it's in the chest, it's in lower back, it's in the thighs, but in most men, it's gonna be around that stomach. So that's what Johanflame does beautifully, is it really attacks that. So, you know, you can learn more about these products, so you go to n2bm.com. That's the company that actually sells them. So they're a really, really good company.
You know, Steve, there's one ingredient in N2Slin. I wanted to make a point, and I forgot to bring it up at the time. So when you touched on the green coffee bean extract, and I did kind of off the top of this, the one thing that I wanted to mention that that ingredient does as well, and I think we've talked about this before, but there's a process that happens in our bodies, and it's called gluconeogenesis. And basically what that is when we have too much protein or too much fat, we can actually turn these things into glucose, right? So you're basically, your body will turn protein into carbs. And the reason why that's important is because I've had a lot of people, and I'm sure, you know, Steve's had the same thing. We get a ton of emails about products like this and about, you know, I'm on a low carb diet, what can I do? N2Slin works well on a low-carb diet because of this process, gluconeogenesis. A lot of people think, well, you know, I'm on a low-carb diet, I'm on a keto diet, so I really don't have to worry about carbs being stored as fat. Wrong. That's why it's even more important to use this product when you are trying to cut, because you're eating a good amount of protein and you're eating a good amount of fat. Your body will turn these things into glucose. And that's where the coffee bean extract ingredient can really help out too. So I didn't want to not mention that, because that's, you know, very important, because I know a ton of you guys, keto diets right now are so popular. And we always are trying to eat a lot of protein. Everybody that's listening to this is always worried about getting that protein in after your workout and throughout the day. So just know that this supplement is designed not only for guys that and girls that eat carbs, but for all diets. It will really help you.
You know what? This is a great show on fat loss, and there's so much more to talk about. It's a really tough situation in this country, in North America, because we're bombarded with food, guys. Food is the enemy. And a lot of people say, oh, food's not the enemy, blah, blah, blah. Trust me, it's the enemy. I mean, people aren't fat from eating fucking, you know, vegetables and fruit in moderation and lean proteins like fish. People are fat because we eat too much. We eat too much of the wrong foods. And, you know, that's going to be a topic for another episode as well. We're going to talk about, you know, more fat loss strategies, fasting strategies, foods to avoid, foods to eat. You know, we could make 100 podcasts about these topics, but, you know, a lot of people just don't know how to eat, you know, because the way we're taught to eat, just watch TV, every commercial, every other commercial is a food commercial. Whether you're,
you know what, Steve, you know? You can't even blame people, because people that are trying to do it right, you know, there's people that don't give a fuck and they're just eating out at restaurants every day. But people that are trying to do it right, think in your mind right now of a grocery store. How much of that store would you consider good, clean, whole foods? 5%? Maybe 10%? The entire middle of that grocery store is all shit. It's all packaged. It's sugar, you know, it's candy, it's all the crap. The only things that are good in the grocery store is the produce section and the lean meats, right? Everything else is garbage. So it's so important to learn. If you guys are cutting, you can literally do your grocery shopping in 15 minutes. Because you're not even going to go to the most of the store. Most of it's going to be terrible. When Steve says food is the enemy, that's why. We're not saying fruits and vegetables are the enemy. We're saying 90% of that grocery store is the enemy because they're designed to make money. They're a machine, right? They don't give a shit about your health. They just want to make money. So keep doing your research, guys. It's so important to know how to shop and know how to eat when you're trying to cut.
You know, we had a really good relationship question, but we ran out of time. So I'll have to save that for the next show. I mean, this show went by really fast. Really appreciate you guys watching. Look, if you're overweight, if you're too fat, come on our forums, you know, reach out, you know, and we'll help you. We'll set something up for you to try to help you reach your goals and get a log going, you know, get a log going, guys. Listen to these podcasts. Listen to the tips we're giving you. A log will help you by kind of, you know, it's like a diary that you write every day. It's going to help you stick to your goal, and it's going to motivate you, and it really does help. So come on our forums, evolution.org, and start a log, introduce yourself, and we'll help you. We'll push you along in a positive manner to help you reach your goals. Appreciate you guys listening. We will talk to you guys on another episode. Thanks.